Welcome, audience, to another show of Growth Digger, where we talk about everything growth, not just growth through creative marketing, but also through business transformation, digital transformation, and anything and everything in the funnel. Very honored to have Ryan Polyniak as my guest today. Ryan is a lifelong business and technology executive. His core focus is the Microsoft ecosystem, and he has been helping businesses for over two decades transform themselves, implementing cutting-edge solutions that are provided by Microsoft. So welcome to the show, Ryan.
Thanks, Taryn. I appreciate you having me on.
Wonderful. We like to start off with a question, which is, give us an example of work that you have done that has unlocked growth for your customers, basically. So it could be one example, it could be a couple of them, but something that actually demonstrates how digital transformation empowered your customers to grow at a much faster rate than they were.
Sure, absolutely. Great question. And over the years, there are so many examples. Of course, we want to leave specific names out of it for now, but I could think of one in particular, a very large organization who had undergone significant growth. And as they grew, their systems aged, and it's very common, and they approached us to transform their business and get them into the cloud. And they were very focused on ERP, which is absolutely core to run the business, something we do a lot of, right? Receiving your inventory and getting it out the door and invoicing. These are absolutely business critical aspects. And I was very surprised when the C-level team, when we approached them about what they do on the front end of the business, particularly on the CRM side, the attitude was, we've got a lot of older sales reps who have been doing it a long time and they're not going to use it. So CRM is more of just an address book. And so I've heard that. And of course, CRM implementations can be successful or be deemed failures primarily based on user adoption. It's a type of system that requires the users to buy in if you're going to get the benefit out of it. So we drilled in on that a bit. And there was a newer VP of sales there who was open to the idea of how CRM could help. And by the time we got done understanding how their business operated and explaining how Dynamics 365, in this case sales, could transform that from a customer satisfaction and pipeline management standpoint.
Customer experience overall with the sales cycle and everything else.
Absolutely. And their reps were very interested in, their sales reps were very interested in the customer service side of things as well and needed everything in one place. And by the time we got done explaining how a system could actually work that way, the light bulb, so to speak, went off with the executive team and said, we need to be doing this, but we need to find the right product. And there are several amazing CRMs out there. Dynamics 365 is one of them. I know Salesforce is right up there where you're gonna see a lot of the big organizations competing. And what the explanation and the education that we provided was that it's not as much about at that point which product you pick. Sure, there may be a few nuances either way of why one is better than the other. It's all about how you use it and how you mandate its use internally and how you manage that change in your organization.
It is a resolution to make sure that it gets adopted. I always
feel right.
Like in all the shelfware that we see in technology is primarily because somebody had the will to buy it, but there was no will to actually make good use of it. Otherwise, there would be no shelfware in the software industry.
Yeah, Taryn, absolutely said. And so that unpacking what it actually means to connect people to technology, there are many facets to it. You could tell them, okay, we're going to change. We're going to get a CRM and everybody's going to use it. Okay, end of meeting, right? No, it can't be that way. If anybody has kids, you tell them to do something, and the first question out of their mouth is what?
Why do I need to do this?
Why
yeah.
do I need to do this, right? Explaining that further and having a plan before you go to implement the software, not when you're in user acceptance testing, but before you go and embark on this project in terms of here's why we need to change organizationally. And here's how it's going to benefit you, right? As a salesperson, yeah. as a sales director, as a VP, you're going to be able to keep track of your pipeline and to communicate better and to follow up better, and it's going to help the company grow. It's going to help your career and your compensation. So connecting the dots in terms of not just we're changing and here's why, but also why we're changing and why it's going to help you, and here's how we're going to help you do it. We're going to go through a project with a consulting firm. I don't recommend shortcutting it, guys. And I've heard this before, right? We just want to get our hands on the software and look at it, and we'll figure it out on our own to save the consulting cost. It's going to fail. You have to have experts. You have to have people who have been through these changes with companies guiding your organization and how they're supposed to be used.
What I've seen is the number one cause of failure of implementations is because a lot of times companies don't budget for the total cost of ownership. Yeah, the software may be like, let's say, $50,000 a year, but you're going to need to implement it properly, and that will require some professional services. And then beyond that as well, it's going to have its life of its own, basically. You got to have people that are actively managing it, enhancing it. And every software company comes out with new features, new releases. You have to stay ahead of the curve if you want to really be adopting that software.
Absolutely. Really well said. And that point that you just made about ongoing costs and evolving software and things changing, it's now relevant in today's day and age more than ever. Because it used to be that you would go implement a software application on-premise 10, 15 years ago, even 7, 8 years ago with some of the big players, and you'd stay on that version of software, and you might update it with some security patches, but the general application was staying the same until you underwent your big upgrade years later, and it was costly and disruptive and everything else. Anyone who's ever been through a big business system upgrade knows that.
Yeah, and then
today is different.
Today is absolutely different because look at how AI is transforming every business application that is out there. And obviously Microsoft is at the leading edge of it through their investment in open.ai and the Copilot and everything else that is happening. So I would be interested to, obviously my next question would be like AI, it's a big disruptor. I think it's mm-hmm. going to help unlock more efficiency and possibilities for everyone that is using any level of technology. What are you guys seeing in your customer base?
Yeah. So it's, what am I seeing to answer that question? It's, we want to embrace AI. Okay. What do you want to use it for? We're not quite sure, but we need it now. And that's normal. It's bleeding edge stuff. Taryn, you're in the industry every day and it's constantly evolving. And it's very much tied to what I was mentioning a moment ago, which the landscape has changed. Applications update several times a year in the cloud now, and you need a long-term plan for that. Most of those updates right now on the Microsoft side are around AI, Copilot enhancements, and how to leverage this stuff, right? So what I'm hearing from my customer base is we want to use AI. What I'm telling our clients, our prospective clients, is number one, you have to have your data ready for it, right? You can use ChatGPT, you can use Bing for tactically creating a marketing campaign or doing some research or writing an email. But if you really want to get insights out of your business data, you have to have it aggregated and organized. You can't have this in this old on-prem system that you don't want to get rid of, and this is in your new cloud CRM, and half your data is in Excel and part of it's in a notebook from your sales rep. You can't leverage AI when your data is like that.
And I think that I always say, we have a lot of conversations around this. The number one challenge companies will face in implementing AI is going to be organizing the data. Bigger the companies, the bigger the data set, the messier the data set. And like you said, probably sitting in multiple places and not really kind of stitched together, not talking to each other. And then any AI models that you run on top of that data, in the old days, we used to say garbage in, garbage out. So I think it will be very true for AI as well, that how well is your data structured, how well it is organized, and then having AI on top of it could do wonders.
Absolutely, yeah. And this is especially true for organizations that grow through acquisition. And you're acquiring companies, right? They have their own data sources, and it's disruptive and it's costly to bring them all into your ERP sometimes, which is always what people think. We've got to get everything together. especially with all the private equity out there right now, where these PE firms are gobbling up companies, or even a company that's not owned by a PE firm who is growing through acquisition, there's a massive cost to trying to aggregate everyone into the same ERP, CRM, right? They're independently operating and they've got their own processes and everything else. Sometimes just getting the data aggregated into a unified model solves a lot of the problems that, you know, where a full system aggregation is ideal. There are a lot of benefits to just getting your data into a warehouse, creating a model and driving your reporting from that one sense of truth, one source of truth.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. And so what is the big advice that you're giving your customers today? I'm sure you're getting, like you said, and the first thing they're asking is, we want to implement AI, but we don't know where to start. So what do you think is a good starting point for companies that are thinking about AI-led transformation?
Yeah, so it goes back to getting to the cloud. Your on-prem systems typically are not going to have the technical connectivity, but also getting your data estate in order. And when it comes back to the system changes, more and more, the longer I'm in this business, it's become crystal clear to me that change element in connecting your people to your new technology and getting them to leverage it and to input the data that you need. The old adage, garbage in, garbage out, that you mentioned is still true. You've got to have data inputs and organization there if you're going to do any of this. So start with the foundation and focus on the long-term plan. It's not always feature-based. I saw this demo and that demo, and this one checked 9 boxes and this one checked 8. There's a technology layer to that foundational plan that you have. What software application is going to support that, right? The big players will typically do that, where you may get a demo from a small organization who's built a product just for your industry, and the features, you say, that's the exact feature we need. That's only part of the story. So if you're an executive, I say, don't let user opinions of feature-led demos just drive all of your decisions. That is a typical pitfall, where you as a leader need to be driving your vision and maybe shortlisting, here are the applications we're going to look at. Yes, we're going to do some demonstrations. No, it's not purely going to be a scored checkbox demo for which one solves more of our feature functional requests right now. That will be part of it, but you as a leader in your organization have to have more vision than that.
Yeah, and what's the long-term vision and what are you trying to achieve? And really not, yeah, I'm like, I would like to start seeing this report next month. But then beyond that report, you know, what's like the objective? What's the goal? And how this new technology is going to help you solve that problem? And not just solve it for in the current state, but also grow with time and be able to solve future problems as well.
Yeah. Now, I see a lot of organizations making technology decisions in silos still, because marketing has a budget and sales has a budget and operations has a budget. That has to be driven from a more cohesive level from the top.
Yeah, the customer experience and the customer journey has to be thought through. It has to be both from the journey that a customer has, but more importantly, in parallel, how that journey translates into systems and processes that you follow internally as a company, so that you have that cohesive process and backed by a cohesive data set as well.
Yeah. And it takes patience, right? It can't be that marketing needs a tool tomorrow and sales needs a tool in 6 months and we're going to let everybody go do this. There has to be a plan, right? We in our neighborhood HOA, we did a huge landscape plan 15 years ago, and we've been implementing it in chunks ever since. But everything there is going to work together in the end. And if you go and you install some bushes over here and some flowers over there and some trees over there with blinders on, you're never going to have a cohesive plan. So that analogy to me should paint the picture that you have to consider everything and then implement in chunks. And it does require patience and starting in the proper place.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ryan, for these wonderful insights. I'm sure our listeners would have learned a thing or two from our conversation today. And anybody who needs help with digital transformation, leveraging Microsoft, Ryan and his team are an excellent source. You can find a link to his bio next to the posted podcast. Thank you so much for being on the show, Ryan, and I look forward to our future interactions, man.
Yeah, my pleasure, Taryn. Thanks for having me on.